देवासुदेवाय जस्ट ओपन ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यस वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 5 ततो धर्मं चतुष्पादं मनवो हरिणोदितः युक्ता संचारयन्त्यधा स्वे स्वे काले महिम निपा व्हाट अबाउट ट्रांसलेशन ततः thereafter धर्मम रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल चतुष्पादम इन फोर पार्ट्स मनवः ऑल द मनुस हरिणा बाय द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड उदितः बीइंग इंस्ट्रक्टेड युक्तः बीइंग एंगेज्ड संचारयन्ति re-establish adha directly sway sway in their own kale time mahim within this world nipa o king I think we can repeat somebody we'll have to we can repeat the verse Dharma Chatushpadam Mahimpa So Dharma Chatushpadam स्वे स्वे काले महिम धर्मं चतुष्पादम् संचारयन्ति यथा स्वे स्वे काले महिम नृपा ततो धर्मं चतुष्पादं मनवो Translation proper by Srila Prabhupada. Anuracharya is gone, Srila Prabhupada is gone. Thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly re-establish the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. Purport. Dharma or occupational duty can be established in its full four parts as explained in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita 4.1, the Lord says, Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavan Aham Aveyam Vishwan Manve Praha Manur Ekshvaku Avravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. This is a process of disciplic succession. Following the same process, the Krishna conscious movement is teaching the principles of Bhagavad Gita as it is, without deviation, all over the world. If the fortunate people of this time accept the instructions of Lord Krishna, they'll certainly be happy in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone, at least in India, to become a preacher of this mission. In other words, one should become a guru and preach Lord's instructions all over the world for the peace and prosperity of humanity. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnana Anjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padano Yandadati Sukhidantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Vashadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so anyway, I'm fortunate to speak here in this temple, and there are many devotees, senior devotees also here, and this is Canto 8, Chapter 14, Text 5, and here Sukadeva Goswami is saying Parikshit, Tato Dharma Chatushpadam. He's talking about Manu. And he's saying Manu establishes dharma after every Kali Yuga. Satyug, Dwapar, Treta and Kali Yuga. After that his duty is to establish dharma. Question is, why Sukadeva Goswami is talking about Manu? I mean to say, he has very less time. Parikshit has very less time. It's just 7 days with him. And Sukadeva Goswami, he would have told Parikshit, well, Parikshit would have argued with Sukadeva Goswami, I have 7 days and I have to hear about Krishna. What's Manu doing here? And first of all, you're talking about cosmos and so many other explanations. I want to hear pastimes of Krishna. Parikshit is a devotee of Lord. So, question is why Sukadeva Goswami is devoted a large part of Srimad Bhagavatam, first to ninth cantos, in not explicitly talking about Krishna. He's talking about so many other things, kings, lineages, and so many other things. Why? And Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he comments that Sukadeva Swami's, the point he wants to convey to Parikshit is that everything is under direct control of Krishna. That's the point he wants to impress on his audience. He's talking about Manu, but he is conveying that even Manu and all other big kings and whatever rishis, they are under direct control of Krishna. Some people know they are under control, some people do not know. That's the difference. That's all. People who know, they are devotees. People who don't know, they are demons. So, it might seem that these topics are not directly related to Krishna. Some people, there are two camps in devotion everywhere. Some people talk only about Krishna. Some people talk more about not Krishna, but more about philosophy and more about analyzing this world. The two camps. Bhakti Sanat Saraswati Maharaj, he said, we are not in both the camps. We are not in both the camps. Oh yeah, sorry. So our idea is to talk both about Krishna's pastimes and also this material world. It should be balanced. Philosophy and pastimes. Tattva and rasa. People who talk only about philosophy, they become fanatics. People who only talk about rasa, they become sentimentalists. we have to balance. And that balance is what is wisdom of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is showing us through his Bhagavatam. He's balancing. And here Sukadeva Goswami is directly talking about subject matter of dharma. Tato dharma chatushpadam. So what's dharma? What is the definition of dharma? We all know Bhagavatam says, Savaya pumsam paro dharma. Dharma means to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, dharma is a very big topic. And if you want to know about dharma, there are four books which we should study. And one of the book Prabhupada mentions, and this verse is mentioned, Manu Samhita. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Manavo Harinodita. Manu, he is the father of mankind. He has established dharma. Following him, various other rishis, they have commented on Manu Samhita. There are four important dharma shastras which we should know. That is Bodhayan Smriti, Gautam Smriti, then Apastamba Smriti, and then Ashvalayan Smriti. These are four important smritis. If you read dharma shastra, if you go to India, if you go to Banaras, Kashi, if you talk to these scholars, these five dharma shastras are important for us. Out of that, Manu is most important. And if you read these dharma shastras, there's an interesting thing. Dharma, actually, I found a verse in Bodhayan Smriti, verse number 13, and it says that, because I was doing some kind of research, because these Gaudiya Math people, they had an argument when Prabhupada was there, that, well, Prabhupada spoke many things. Many things were according to religious principles. Many things he spoke jokingly. I mean to say, there is some kind of dichotomy in his mind. Many things what Prabhupada said that was like in normal, you know, day-to-day things. And when he spoke when he wrote commentaries on Bhagavatam and he spoke on Vyasasana and what that is the instructions of Prabhupada. But that Bodhayan Smriti says that dharma shastra arudha, anybody who knows the principles of dharma and who is expert in that, who is an acharya, krida artham bruyu api, even if he speaks jokingly, his jokes will establish dharma. That's what solves the problem. Because in Christianity also we have, you know, human Christ and the Christ which is on the pulpit. So when popes when they speak on the pulpit, we have to accept them. When they're out of the pulpit, they are just like ordinary human beings. But this is not with what we understand according to dharma. Especially, you see Mahaprabhu's Leela, Nityananda Prabhu, he was always joking. At least it seemed like that. And Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they were abusing each other. This was funny. And because of that, many people who were new, there were factions. Some people followed Nityananda Prabhu. Two sects became Nityananda Vamsha, Advaita Vamsha, and they were fighting with each other. They couldn't understand what's happening. But Bodhayan Smriti says that for great people, their jokes are also dharma. For us, our serious things are also a religion. We are like ulta. We don't know what's religious principles. It's very difficult. How to establish religion? What is the evidence of dharma? Manu is there. Manu Samhita, second chapter, sixth verse, it says, if you want to establish dharma, there have to be five evidences. Ved akhilo dharma. Vedas establish dharma. Smriti shireta chatad vidam. Smritis and Puranas. That's the second evidence for dharma. Tad vidam, people who know these smritis. Third. Fourth is acharascha eva sadhunam, people who follow them, sadhus, according to the instructions of rishis, just like Manu. And the fifth is atma santushti eva cha, self-satisfaction. So five, any time we are confused, what is dharma? And it is very easy to be confused, what is dharma and what is adharma. It's not easy. Krishna says, Krishna says, karmana ghanomati. It's very difficult to decide. Sometimes we are confused, no? What is right, what is wrong? So how to decide? Five evidences. You check by Vedas, by Puranas, then rishis who are following these, sadhu, other sadhus who are putting them in their achara, and fifth is self-satisfaction. Okay, question is, what is the most important thing in all of these five to establish dharma? What is the most important? Self-satisfaction? Well, that might be confusing, isn't it? We can be satisfied in watching a movie also. No, that might be confusing. What might be? Following? Yeah, so, acharascha eva sadhunam. The activities of sadhus, that will establish dharma, not Vedas. And this seems a little contradictory, because if you see orthodox Brahmins, they say Vedas are everything. You know, we'll follow Vedas. But according to Manu, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Puri Gosai Jai Acharan Kaila Se Dharmasthar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, dharma sthapan hetu sadhura vibhar. If you want to establish dharma, you're confused, just follow saints. That's all. Saints like Srila Prabhupada. And that is dharma, that's all. Finish. So, if we have any confusion, so Vrindavan, if you go to Radhakund, Shyamkund, there's confusion. So many people said, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he deviated from Sampradaya. You see, so many people are there. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur deviated. Bhakti Siddhanta deviated more, and Prabhupada was deviated. At least all those Babajis, they say like that. Because they couldn't understand what Vishwanath is saying, what Jiva Goswami is saying. And it's like that. Sahijas speak like that. But they couldn't understand this simple thing, that scriptures do not help us to understand bhakti in one sense. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, yeah, scriptures help us to understand bhakti. Scriptures are not born out of bhakti. Yeah, bhakti is not born out of scriptures. Scriptures are born out of bhakti. That's the idea of what Bhakti Vinod Thakur says. So, devotees are more important than scriptures. If we are confused by reading scriptures, and we will be, because scriptures are, there's so many instructions in Vedas, so many instructions in Upanishads, and many times it seems contradictory, because instructions are at different levels, just like Srila Prabhupada also. Prabhupada said so many things at so many times. We all know, when people ask Prabhupada, what's the best thing in Krishna consciousness, most important? Many, Prabhupada said once, book distribution. Sometimes Prabhupada said, what's the most important? Prasad distribution. Sometimes Prabhupada said, preaching. Sometimes he said, chanting. Prabhupada asked, what's the most important thing? So one disciple, he raised his hand. And he was there in one of the classes of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said in that class, Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita is most important. And he said, Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita is most important. Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, becoming pure devotee is most important. So what's correct? All are correct. But we have to understand, we have to harmonize, we have to be wise to harmonize all these things. Otherwise we can get confused. That's what is important. People, that's the first mercy of Lord. The first mercy of Krishna is not bliss. It's not bliss. If Krishna is merciful to you, bliss is a gift of Krishna to us, which saves us from material attraction. But Vallabhacharya and other acharyas, they say, the first mercy of Krishna is that you will be able to recognize your faults. That's the first mercy of Lord. We'll be able to recognize our own faults. That's the first. If a devotee is blessed, he will be able to see his own faults. Bliss is not the main criteria of the mercy of Krishna. That anyway we will have bliss. You know, if you touch fire, hand burns. If you touch water, we become wet. If you touch Krishna, you feel bliss. That's all, because he is made of bliss. That's an effect. But the real gift of Krishna is wisdom and insight by which we can look within. And we are able to look how many faults we have. That is the insight what we will have. So, and the second mercy of Krishna is wisdom, by which we can recognize, we can harmonize the contradictory instructions of scriptures. Otherwise it's very difficult. That's the second mercy. And the third mercy is renunciation, detachment from this material world. That's what Bhagavatam says. Jnanam chatat ahitukam Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayochata Janyati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam chatat ahitukam. So if we want to summarize dharma in one sentence, Bhakti Siddhanta did that. And that is, okay, first let me talk about what is not dharma. Can anybody tell? How do you recognize what is not dharma? We decided, okay, what is dharma? The bottom line of what is dharma is following Acharya. What is not dharma? How do we decide? No following Acharya. Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean to say, but I need some definition. Because sometimes we can, we think we are following Acharya, but maybe we are not. Our mind confuses us, no? It might happen, many times it happens, we get confused. Yeah, yes, Guru. Yeah, I understand, yeah. Yeah, we can say that. Yeah. What about us? We are following devotion, we are following scriptures. How do we decide in our life whether we are doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Many times we are confused, no, in devotion. Whether I am taking a right decision or a wrong decision, I am following Srila Prabhupada or I am not following Srila Prabhupada, it's a little confusing. Many times it's confusing, our mind confuses. We are sometimes in dilemma. So what to do at that point? Yeah, Guru, yeah, that's okay. But I want a specific answer. We are confused by following Guru Sadhu Shastra also many times. We all know. We all get confused. If nobody would have been confused, everybody is following Guru Shastra Sadhu in his corner. If everybody was super clear, why people fall down? Why? And the synonym of Maya is misconception. Prabhupada says all over. Maya, that's the work of Maya. It'll lodge misconceptions in our mind. We become confused. And that's why we fall down. Arjuna became confused. Krishna, I'm confused. That's where Bhagavad Gita began. So how to save ourselves from that confusion? How to know whether we are on the right track or not on the right track? And there's one smriti, Apastamba smriti, and it gives us the wisdom for that. And it says, yatr tu priti labdhita tatr shastram nasti. Wherever, in any action, if you find sense enjoyment, that is not religion. Even if it seems religion externally, we should understand that is not dharma. So if we are taking prasadam, that's dharma. But if we're enjoying that, it's irreligion. That's the idea. That's irreligion. That is not dharma. So that's how we have to decide whether we are right or wrong. Because many times in devotion is a tendency to enjoy. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, new devotees are much safer than advanced devotees. That's also there. We think when we advance, we become safe. No. Because for new devotees, Krishna has extra bonus for them. He handles them. Then new, Krishna will give them gift, more enthusiasm and more devotees. But when we advance, there's a trap. And the trap is of satisfaction and happiness. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. The stage of nama aparadh is dangerous, but the stage of nama bhas is more dangerous. And that's how maya traps. We'll do devotion, we'll feel happy, sense controlled, everything is going nice, and we'll stop putting efforts. Our goal is to meet Krishna face to face. Prabhupada says that we have to meet Krishna face to face. We are satisfied by having darshan of Krishna, beautiful Krishna, but at the same time we are sad that Krishna never spoke to us. Krishna never spoke to us. So many years we have been coming and visiting Krishna, and he never spoke to us. Why? He was speaking to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He was speaking to Bhakti Siddhanta. He was speaking to Srila Prabhupada. Why doesn't speak to us? It means there's some problem with us. There has to be some problem. And that's what Bhakti Siddhanta entire life he was saying. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his Bhagavad Purport. Srila Prabhupada mentions that seer and the seen, when the day when Krishna becomes the seer, we become the seen. That day is a perfection of Krishna consciousness. That day. So we are coming to Krishna to see him, but we want one day, we have hope against hope that he will see us. And that's what we sing in Damodar Ashtakam, Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dhinam Batayam. So devotee is happy and sad both. What we should focus on? Happiness or sadness? What we should focus? Sadness. That is what is Mahaprabhu's movement. Sorrow. Separation. Hope against hope. We are waiting for that day when Krishna will meet us face to face. He wants to meet us face to face. He wants to meet us face to face, but we are not ready. It's not that he doesn't want. He wants to come out of that altar and embrace you. But he can't do that because we are not ready. And why we are not ready? Because if Krishna does that, if he comes and reveals himself unto us, he will demand something from us. No? He's demanding, no? And when he demands, we'll not sometimes be able to tolerate, you know what he says. Prabhupada was so strict. Prabhupada demanded, no? You go to China, you go to Africa, and this, that, and it was so difficult. Bhakti Siddhanta, he was like super demanding. He was going in a train, and I think train stopped somewhere in Gaya. You know Gaya, there's in India. So there were four sannyasis with him. He asked them, get out and preach. And sannyasi was saying, my God, what's this? Now we don't have money, we don't have anything, you're asking us to get out. He asked where we live. He told, no problem, you go to Bank of Ganges, drink Ganges water and preach, Krishna will take. Prabhupada was also like that. So when acharyas are so demanding, how much Krishna will be demanding? You can imagine if suppose Krishna comes now and he says, fine, I want all of you to go to Saudi Arab and shout at the top of your voice, Krishna is supreme. Well, next day our head will be hanging, you know, in the market. It's difficult. And Krishna will do that. We think Krishna is merciful, but Krishna is very cunning also. He is expert. He knows how to handle us. He will do that. He asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to spoke a lie, I was telling. He asked, from all people, he chose Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira was saying, my God, Krishna, you have to choose me to speak a lie. You know I always speak truth, and you're asking me to speak a lie. Krishna told, that's why I'm asking you to speak a lie. Because I know you are attached to truth. And I want you to get rid of this attachment. So Krishna knows how to fine tune us. He has Draupadi. If you read Puranas, Draupadi was disrobed in front of everybody. Previous to that, he asked Draupadi, will you do some service to me? Draupadi said, yes. He told, okay, tomorrow something is going to happen to you. You'll be disrobed. Are you ready? Draupadi said, well, it's my fortune. How many of us will be able to accept that? And Draupadi and Yudhishthira, they never asked why. You say this? Okay, we'll do this. So Krishna is ready, probably we are not ready. And why we are not ready? Because we are holding back. And what's holding back? Our own sense gratification. That tendency to enjoy. Tendency to become peaceful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, as soon as a devotee becomes peaceful, his spiritual life is finished. It's finished. Prabhupada says, spiritual anxiety. Prabhupada says so many times, we should not be peaceful. Our aim is to not become peaceful. Our aim is to become anxious for Krishna. And as we advance, tendency is to become peaceful and satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That is why Prabhupada said that we should always remember that we are becoming indebted to Krishna day by day, moment by moment. His debt, we are getting burdened by his debt. Every day when we come, when we take his darshan, it's a debt on us. He's giving his darshan to us. Every time we chant Hare Krishna, we are again indebted. He's giving us opportunity to chant his holy name. Every time we take prasadam, we are more indebted. And this sense of indebtedness, that inspires a devotee to always increase his enthusiasm and effort. Otherwise, we can't be enthusiastic. It's impossible to become enthusiastic. We have to feel indebted to Krishna. And the more we try to serve him, to get rid of that debt, we become more indebted. Because the opportunity to serve is provided by Krishna. So that's a relationship between master and his servant. There's a competition, Prabhupada says in his purport. Master is have a competition with servant. Servant is trying to serve Krishna. Krishna is trying to serve his devotees. From our perspective, Krishna is giving mercy, but from Krishna's perspective, he's serving us. Because he is the humble, he's the humblest. He's the humblest. He's the most humble. He doesn't think I am giving mercy. Let's say just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always saying, I'm a student. And Prabhupada always said, thank you very much. You devotees are helping me to serve my spiritual master. I'm serving you all. So, who wins the competition? Krishna or devotee? So, Krishna is serving his devotees. Devotee is serving Krishna. Who wins the competition? Well, Krishna is always a winner. But he wants his devotees to win, and devotees want Krishna to win. Who wins? Nobody wins. Competition goes on eternally. Nobody wins. That is called love. That is dharma. So that's the point I was trying to impress. Dharma means, that is, Vallabhacharya says this is vivek, intelligence. Wisdom means to identify what is sense gratification and what is not sense gratification. Sometimes while chanting, also we can enjoy Krishna. Our greatest desire is not to enjoy matter. Our greatest desire is to enjoy God. We never thought about that, no? We are not here in material world because we want to enjoy matter. We are here in the material world because we want to enjoy God. We want to become God. So, we have let matter come to Krishna. But we have the same disease of enjoying Krishna. We will get enjoyment if we give enjoyment to Krishna. Tat sukha sukhitvam. That's what Narad Bhakti Sutra says. Find enjoyment in the enjoyment of Lord. So gopis, when they met Krishna, they told Krishna, when you become happy, we become happy. When you become distressed, we become distressed. And if you become happy in our distress, that distress is our happiness. That is what is the mood of gopis. Gopis said, Krishna told, well, okay, yeah, that's nice. Krishna told, okay, gopis, what else? Gopis told Krishna, we are under your control. Krishna, that's nice. Anything else? Then gopis told, no, actually, the highest conception of dharma is, gopis said to Krishna, Krishna, please exploit us. That's the highest conception. Ashleshava padratam panishtumam. That means exploit us. Madhvacharya, he gives the concept of control. Dependent, independent. That's what Madhvacharya says. Ramanacharya gave the conception of ananya sharan. pure devotion without any extraneous rewards. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, we go beyond that. We want to be exploited by God. Exploit means whether Krishna gives mercy or no mercy. Krishna uses us and throws us away. We'll be more than happy in that. That is the ultimate conception of devotion. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. That's what gopis are teaching us. And that is dharma. So, but in this world, there is no one. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he summarized dharma in one line. He said, Krishna Kam, Krishna Nam and Krishna Dham. That's what he said. He said, and this is beautiful, we always remember. He said, you have to do three things. That's all. Krishna Nam, chanting holy names. Krishna Kam, doing something for him. And Krishna Dham means associating with devotees. And the trick is to balance all these three. Because sometimes we are not able to balance that. In ISKCON life, it's such a busy life. So, some devotees, they are interested in Krishna Nam, but not in Krishna Kam. Krishna Kam means activities. Some devotees are interested in Krishna Kam, but not so much in Krishna Nam. Some devotees are interested in all of both. They are only interested in Krishna Dham, association with devotees. But we have to have right dose of all these three. Krishna Nam, Krishna Dham, and Krishna Kam. Then we can nurture our soul. We can nurture our devotion daily. And we can develop love for God. That's what is dharma. So that is why Manu, he says, Tato dharmam chatushpadam manvo harino dita. Manu says that chatush, that yuktaha sancharayanti. This word yukta is coming. I don't know, it's not there. This word yukta is coming. Why Sukhdeva Goswami is using the word yukta, attached? He is saying, Manu established the dharma, that dharma which was devoid of sense gratification. That's why I am bringing this topic. If that word was there, you could have seen. This word yukta he is using. Attached with Lord. Sancharayanti adha. And he established this dharma directly, Srila Prabhupada says. Directly means without any deviation. He established his dharma. There are six types of dharma. Dharma is divided into six categories. I'll not go into details, but the names are Varna Dharma, Ashram Dharma, Varna Ashram Dharma, Guna Dharma, Nimit Dharma, and Samanya Dharma. So, Varna Dharma means, we all know, Varna means, what's that? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, occupation. And Ashrama Dharma means, Grihastha, Sannyasi, all these. Varna Ashrama Dharma means, how a Brahmana will proceed from one ashram to another ashram. That's Varna Ashrama Dharma. Guna Dharma means dharma of kings. Just like what is the dharma of king? What is the dharma of duty of woman? That is Guna Dharma. And then comes Nimitta Dharma. What is the punishment and prayaschit? And then is Samanya Dharma. Samanya Dharma means tapa, saucham, daya, satya. That's what the word comes, chatushpadam. Austerities, mercy, the truthfulness. Okay, fine. So, four common principles for all. This is how dharma is. There are many other divisions of dharma. Well, we should not go into details. But the idea is, harino ditaha, this word is coming. Dharma is inspired by God. There's a difference between information and wisdom, knowledge and realization. So, this realization is given by Krishna. What is the difference between information and realization? Information is knowledge, but realization is that knowledge where we'll never get confused. That platform of knowledge where there is no confusion. That is realization. Like we chant holy names, we have information, holy name and Krishna are one, but perhaps many times we don't have that realization that they are one and identical. But at the level of realization, aparoksha anubhuti, we never become confused. And that's our target. Swe swe kale mahim nipa. And that's what Manu says, Sukadeva Goswami says. Manu's duty was to establish this religion without deviation and help others by force or by instruction. Anything. That's why he uses the word nipa. He was a king. Sometimes dharma can be established by pen or sometimes by sword. Both are required. Both are required. So that is why we need a king, we need saints, we need both. And that's what Sukadeva Goswami is impressing on us. And that's why we need rules and regulations also with love. Vaidhi bhakti, raganaga bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti is sword and raganaga bhakti is pen or sentiments. And we need both to achieve love of Krishna. And that is what is dharma principle. So yeah, it's till 8:30. Yeah, it's not. Is there any questions? Yeah, cool. Yeah. He wants to talk to you. Well, I don't know. He doesn't talk to us. We are all foolish people. He doesn't talk to us. And that's his mercy, he doesn't talk to us. That's what, if he talks to us, he'll demand something and we'll not be able to do that. And we'll get offense and we'll go to hell. That's why he doesn't talk to us. He's God. He'll not say something superficial. When he speaks, it will be, he's soft as rose and hard as thunderbolt. That's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he exactly knows where to put his finger. The point where we don't want anybody to interfere, that point he'll put his finger. He'll do that. And it'll be very painful for us. But anyway, he's a good surgeon also. So he knows how to do surgery. We all know in devotion, we feel pain many times and we have to all go under problem. But that's okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for a nice class. You were mentioned at one point that we can, if we can make a balance, some devotees are good doing this, but not that. Also, it will be nice to have devotees that actually can intermingle and do everything good. Like Prabhupada did all those things, and he was perfect and good in everything he did. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that out of the five angas, you know, sadhu sangha, chanting the holy name, Mathura Seva, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's just one of those items. If a devotee becomes perfect, he can be liberated and go back to Godhead. So, although it's nice that we could create a balance, but still, even just one of those items is so powerful that it can bring you back to Godhead.
Yeah, I understand your question. So. So your question is, okay,
so it's like a comment, but can you, maybe you can...
Okay, fine, yeah, I got the point. Actually, Jiva Goswami, he has written in Bhakti Sandar, he takes this point, and of course, Prabhupada says, even one of the limb is most potent. Either you do sadhu sangha, read Bhagavat, do deity worship, Mathura Vas, anything. But Jiva Goswami says that this point, which Rupa Goswami is raising, it is not with the perspective that we should follow one thing. It is to reveal the power of that limb. It is not to instruct us that we have to follow one limb. Just like, for example, we have that example in Bhagavatam. So Narad Muni says, Yudhishthir, your mind is totally attached to Krishna in love. Kansa's mind is attached to Krishna in fear. That example comes. So he says, I think Kamsa is very fortunate. Because in fear, he's always thinking about Krishna. So now the point is, are we to fear Krishna? No. So Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada says, well, Narad Muni is trying to impress the point, whether fear or whether love, we have to think about Krishna. Thinking is important. To impress on us the fact of thinking, he's raising this question, this example. So Rupa Goswami is not instructing us to follow one limb. He's just saying, even one limb is more powerful, but we should follow the combination. And one more thing. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Krishna's Kaviraja Goswami says, fine, you can follow one limb, but to relish devotion, you should follow all. There's a difference between advancement and relishment. So we can do one, but then we'll not get relishment. So this variety will provide relishment. And that's another point why we should follow all of them. This is nice. Jiva Goswami. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
You were saying that a devotee serves Krishna out of indebtedness. Where is that mentioned?
What's that?
You were saying in
indebtedness. Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm just thinking, because also Prabhupada gave the example of how, like a mother serves a child without any expectation of reward like that. So that he compared that the closest thing to love of God. So I'm just trying to understand both statements.
Oh, yeah. I just told, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a verse when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam and he was singing in front of Ranganath. He was dancing. And after that, he told that Kritartha Hoila, Tumara Gun Gaya, I forgot the exact verse. He said, my dear Krishna, you have provided this opportunity to sing your glories, I'm indebted by that. Kritarth. And then the explanation given is that a devotee should always have indebtedness. He should feel that he's burdened by the debt of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that will inspire him to serve Krishna without any expectation of rewards, of course. Mm-hmm. But that will impel him that Krishna has given me so much, what I have given to him. That's the idea. Our disease is to always take. We were in material world, we are taking. We come to temple, we take. We take prasad. We take books. We have taken holy name. We have taken everything but what we have given to Krishna. So that mood helps a devotee to serve Krishna. So just like Ganges water, we take from Ganges and give it back to Ganges. Similarly, we take from Krishna many things as his mercy. But then we have to offer that mercy back to him in form of service. That's what his entire life is. That's what I was making.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Haribol Prabhu, I recollect that you said that when somebody takes prasadam and you're enjoying it, adharmic.
Yeah, it's
is
not,
that
it's
is that the proper is that what
yeah,
you
yeah.
said?
It's not religious principle, yeah.
Is that what you said?
It is not real religious principle, yeah.
It's not religious principle. Because I observed a lot of sadhus, and they actually appreciate if the prasadam is delicious or not. And we see that when the Krishna eats through the mouth of the Brahman, and when I cook something good, and then the Prabhu that I served it and said, Balaram, this is very good.
That's
so nice. They appreciate that. Then I see that, Lord Chaitanya, the deities took this prasad because you actually taste it. So now now you got me confused because you're saying that this is adharmic.
No.
I would prefer to be adharmic if I satisfy the sadhus.
It's not confusing.
Okay.
It's
what?
Not confusing.
Tell me. What's?
Yeah. The point is, when we tell this prasadam is delicious, that is to serve you, to serve Vaishnavas. It's delicious. The point is we are not enjoying that. But anyway, taste will come. Our taste buds are not. Otherwise, you have to go to doctor. You know, you're getting taste or what? It's tasty, but this when we experience a taste, that taste inspires us to serve Krishna. That's the idea. Enjoyment means you're lost in the taste and you forget service. That is enjoyment. So we'll feel taste, but that taste will inspire us. Oh, Krishna, this prasadam is so tasty. Krishna has put his taste inside this prasadam. He has given me this gift and now let me serve him double. So that's the idea. We use that taste to inspire us to serve him. Enjoyment means we are lost in that taste and we forget his service. So, is it clear? don't know. I think it's pretty clear. Oh, sir. Yeah, fine. Okay. Fine. That's okay. I'll give you one more example. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book, Dat Kaustubham. He raises this point, this very point. And he says, just like preachers, we are all traveling preachers. It's so nice to travel, like from one place to another place. Like after 2 days, I'm going to San Diego, then San Jose, then so many places. And it's fun. Of course it's fun. We can't say it's not fun. But at the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, use this fun to increase your service attitude. Don't get lost in that. So Krishna says, Bhoga Ishwarya Prasaktanam, if you're lost in that taste, in that enjoyment, that is enjoyment. But if you're using that taste to increase your service attitude, that's not enjoyment. Anything connected to service becomes service. That's the idea behind that.
Hare Bhav. Keshavananda Prabhu, thank you for a very, very nice presentation. I know it's running late, but I just wanted to make a point on what Balaram said. There was an incident, I think it was 75 maybe, in Mayapur. I think it's because 76 was the first time I went there. It was the year before, I think. So the devotees were there. Things were not quite as developed, and whoever was cooking was not doing such a good job. So the whole thing came to Srila Prabhupada, that the cooks were not. So Prabhupada called for the prasad and he tasted it. And then to the devotees who were complaining, he said, if you're actually Krishna conscious, even if it doesn't taste good, you will still honor it and you will think of Krishna in that way. And then to the cooks, he said, you should cook better. He said, that's when he said a famous line, that prasadam should be so good that even if you're not hungry, you'll eat it.
Yeah.
Not that it should be bad and if you're hungry, you can't eat it.
Yeah.
You see, that's when Prabhupada said that line. But still, even if it's bad prasadam, if you're thinking properly that it has been offered to Krishna, then you're not going to complain on and on and on, like some devotees would always complain, this is wrong, that's wrong, I don't like this, I don't like that. That's a bad attitude. So Prabhupada is trying to impress that. Don't just be a complainer. If you're seeing that it was offered to Krishna, even if it doesn't suit your taste, you still honor it.
This is nice. Actually, it just makes me remember Bhakti Sandra Saraswati Maharaj, when he used to leave his Mahaprasad after taking, and then he used to leave his Mahaprasad to be distributed to devotees. And then when it used to get distributed, then he used to ask the person who was distributing, who took sweets and who took the salty part. And anybody who took sweets, like himself, he's bhogi. He used to tell them. So, well, that's the idea. Whatever you receive, you receive. You don't choose prasad. That's how you used to check the attitude and consciousness of a devotee. That's the idea. Oh, yeah, okay. We are dead now.
Harinam is not for our enjoyment. Harinam is for the pleasure of the Lord. So that's, you remind me.
That's what I was trying to
say. One last question, sorry.
I don't know if you have to ask Prabhu that question. I can entertain or not.
Okay, so you were mentioned that there is like 6 or 5 items that it will tell us what is dharma, and then you went that the behavior of the devotee or what the devotee established, that is ultimately dharma. So I was thinking that we always heard that we have sadhu, guru, and shastra, and among these three, shastra is the most important. So how can we relate what you said?
Yeah, generally people say shastra, that's what I was telling. But ultimately, conclusion is, or Mahaprabhu is, dharma sthapan hetu sadhu ravira. Sadhu is, at the end, sadhu will be always important. We begin with shastras, because without shastra, we're going to identify sadhu. So in that perspective, when you begin your search, shastra is important to identify sadhu. But when you identify it, sadhu is important. That's all. Shastra, we can get confused. Simple. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Books.
Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anyway.
Hare Krishna. So Keshavananda Prabhu has brought some books that he's written. There will be a table outside.
Yeah.
Everybody, you can please This is how we assist traveling preachers by appreciating their books and hopefully buying them. Okay? So it's bona fide. Please go and see.
And also, thank you for all of you to listen to me. And thank you for tolerating me. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. He will also give class again tomorrow. So.